Well, praise the Lord. So let's all think of something about Jesus that we love. Stop for a second. Just ask, what about him can you... that was awesome. But how about you all? What do you got?
Merciful.
To who?
All sinners.
And to you personally. Yes, I want... What else? Tell me about Jesus. Let's glorify him for a minute. He's always there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. What else about Jesus? Come on. Yes. He offers comfort. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes. What else? Hope and change lives, beginning with... me, yeah, that's right. Who else? Louder? Unconditional love. Come unto me, all you labor, right? Doesn't matter if you had a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Well, wait a minute. My phone is ringing, and I have it set. And actually, I put it on snooze twice, because at 10:02 every morning of every day, my phone rings because of Luke 10:2. Jesus had a prayer request. He doesn't have many prayer requests, but he gave us a prayer request. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth, I better turn this off, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Okay, Jesus made this prayer request just before he sent out 70 people. We don't even know who those guys were. But he sent out 70 people, and he said, the fields are wide unto harvest. Pray you, therefore, and I take that as me, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. So let's do that right now. Father, we pray. You pray.
We pray for your believers that we would come forth. We would come forth and be laborers into the harvest. We pray that we could discover these laborers who are not even Christians yet, but they're out there. They are going to be laborers in your harvest. We just pray.
Harvest of souls. In Jesus' name, amen. So who is it that you would like to see get saved?
Everybody.
Okay, let's be more specific. I'm for everybody. I am for everybody. I want everybody to be in heaven with me. I do. But who personally, like my sister, Kay, needs to get saved? Really needs to get saved. I mean, she really needs to get saved. So my sister Kay, that's one of them. I work with some people that need to get saved. Mike and my next door neighbor, Mario. Who do you got? Somebody pop to your mind? Let's hear them all at the same time. I'm going to shout out Mario and Kay. So, Mario, Lord, I pray that you'd save Mario, my next-door neighbor. I pray that you'd save Mike and his wife and my co-workers that I met last night, Belly and Brian. I pray that they would come into the kingdom, that you would send forth laborers to them in Jesus' name. Okay, well, in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to talk about winning souls for Jesus today. This is called the Great Commission, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to apply it, and I'm going to give you a tool which you can use, you can take home today and use it to help the harvest. Okay, so Jesus said in Matthew 28, who's got it and who can read that nice and loud?
Jesus.
Anybody got it in front of them? Okay. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Belt it out. Okay, now while you're all looking to just help them out, somebody turn and tell me that scripture again. Without looking, yeah. And it's okay, you can make lots of mistakes. I'll tell it. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. How'd I do? Who else wants to try it? Yeah, just turn it off for a second. They're not going to turn around, so I've got to... Okay, who can... come on, give me a shot. I don't have to call on somebody. Try it. Okay, yes, yeah, sister, go for it. How'd she do? Give her a hand. Yes, thank you. Okay, we need one more. One more, come on. A boy this time. So, yes. This scripture is obviously we call it the Great Commission. That'd be a great name for a church, don't you think? Great Commission. Well, this is the Great Commission. And I want you to know I got saved in, I was raised in a church that didn't have any Jesus at all. Not that I can remember. I can't remember the death, the blood, the burial and resurrection of Jesus. I can't remember any of it. I don't remember any that they ever preached the sacrifice of Jesus. I asked my sister, the same one we just prayed for, if she'd ever remembered us talking about the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, the precious sacrifice. And she said, no, I don't have any recollection of that ever. So I was raised in a church that had no Jesus. It was called a Christian church. It was called Disciples of Christ. No Jesus. I was raised in a church with no Jesus until a friend took me into his back office. Actually, it was a boss. Took me into his back office of his store, and he told me about joy. I was just a crazy hippie. Nobody ever could see that in me or anything, but I was just a crazy hippie, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I'd just party on. It was all, because when I got to grow up, this church with no Jesus did not have anything that I was interested in. A church with no Jesus is not much interest to me. Some people, it's fine. They can do it their whole life. They're still there over in Mill Valley. They're still there at that church, and there's still no Jesus there. But a friend of mine took me in and started telling me about the love and joy of Jesus. That was what I needed to hear. And then he took me to a church where Jesus was there. And the presence of God came down in the worship, not unlike this morning. We just started, and I was just there. We got there so late that we couldn't sit together. There were no two seats together in this little church. It was a Jesus people church. Anybody that loved hippies got a whole church full of them. God had a special blessing on anybody that would open their doors and welcome dirty hippies into their... Hey, wait, okay. We always worry about stuff like that. The presence just came down, and I just raised my hand and started praising the Lord. And when the preacher said, who wants to give their heart to Jesus... I said, me, this is real. And they put us in buses, drove us down to the Yuba River in October 1973. Many of you weren't even born. But they drove us down to the river and they baptized us in very cold water. And by the way, when I stood up, when that preacher asked who wanted to commit their heart to Jesus, I couldn't see Beth because she had to be way back there, and I was way sort of facing in here, and she was there. And so I looked over, and she was standing in the other end of the building, gave her heart to Christ on the same day we got baptized, the same day, and we've been walking with Jesus. And since that time, I have had ups and downs for sure, but I have never doubted my salvation. I know that I am a child of God, and in those 45 years, I have walked with Jesus. It has been, I've been saved the whole time. It's not just that I'm once saved, always saved, though I am. I know that Jesus saved my soul. Do you have a story like that? Do you have a story? We don't have time to tell it right this minute, but maybe in a few minutes. Okay, so I kind of grew cold in the last 20 years. I was always going to church. I was always tithing. I was always helping. I was always doing stuff. And I was definitely a Christian, but I lost my fire. I had fire. We were preaching the gospel everywhere. We're out on the streets on Friday nights. We were passing out tracts and leading people to Christ. I can show you my wedding pictures for 6 months before we got saved, we got married. I can go through those photographs of our wedding, and I say, whoa, he got saved. He got saved. She got saved. They got saved. That couple got saved. They're all over. And they're still scattered all around. I got friends preaching the gospel. I just talked to after 40 years or 30 years. They're sharing the gospel in fairs with a little tent. And I have another friend who's the pastor of the homeless church in San Francisco, Evan and April Prosser. We prayed them into the kingdom of God. And we were there part of a revival. But I cooled off. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago that I was still loving God. I preached here, and I was getting touched by the prayer movement at that time, remember? Well, I started working with a Muslim man. He came, he was a client in my office, in my job, and we would talk for hours. He lives right around here. Guess what his name is? Yeah, how did you know? But he's a great guy, and we talk for hours after hours. After work, we just talk for hours and hours and hours. And I started studying evangelism for this one guy. And I ran into a group of Southern Baptists. I'm a holy roller from the day I got saved. I was talking in tongues and prophesying for the last 40 years. It's just been part of my life. And I'm just a holy roller. I'm a Pentecostal. So I discovered a group of Southern Baptists. And they go out preaching the gospel. And mostly in parks and in door-to-door. Looking for the one person. We call it the person of peace. And I discovered something, that being in the harvest changes everything in a believer's life. In fact, that's what I titled this sermon. Isn't that, Pastor, that's what I called this? Being in the harvest changes everything. 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 So one of the things which I would like to teach you this morning, I'd like to train you this morning in how to give your testimony. Okay? In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So I'm going to teach you a simple way to give your testimony. It's going to start with, there was a time in my life.
There was a time in my life.
Everybody.
There was a time in my life.
Okay? Say it again.
There was a time in my life.
Turn to your neighbor and say it again.
There was a time in my life.
Everybody, look down at your shoes. There was a time in my life. Point at your right foot. Point at it right there. Say, you know, there was a time in my life. Everybody look at me. Point at me. Everybody point at me and say, there was a time in my life when... There was a time in my life. You notice I'm different from last time, too. I've been meditating, and I'm always trying to work my testimony better. There was a time in my life that what I... Well, actually, I changed. I don't even use that part. That's a good way to start. But I say, I was raised in a church where there was no Jesus. That's how I started my testimony with you, wasn't it? And I told you about going to church with no Jesus. Well, there was a time in my life when... I want you to think of one word. It could be lonely, or it could be afraid, or it could be discouraged. It could be brokenhearted. I work with a man who came to Christ after a messy, heartbreaking divorce. There was a time for myself when I was angry. Ooh, maybe you should go to that meeting. Yeah, when I was angry and lonely. Well, that was two. I'm just giving you ideas because I'm not telling you what to say. But come up with one thing that you were before you knew Jesus. There was a time in my life when I... Yes. Every day was the same. And that you could also say bored, right? You could see how what he's saying. Every day was the same. Oh, everything... Who else? What's one word to describe you? Come on. This is training, by the way. This is not preaching. This is training. I'm going to help you do something today. So, yes.
There was a time in my life when I was afraid.
There was a time. Who else? Good. Perfect. Come on. Come on.
I was a slave.
No. Say the whole thing.
There was a time in my life when I was a slave to fear.
I was a slave to fear. We sang about that just this morning. There was a time in my life. So I'm going to teach you what we call the 30-second testimony. You're going to be able to give your testimony in 30 seconds. Actually, we teach it in 15. But you know the woman at the well? Who's heard the story of the woman at the well? Remember, Jesus came to her and preached the gospel to her. And what happened when she went back? What did she tell the vision? She gave her testimony. What was it? Come meet a man who told me everything I did. Is this not the Christ? Do you know what happened? The whole town came and got saved. I mean, they really did. They say, you told us, but now we met the man and we believe. You told us about Jesus, but we met him for ourselves. So, okay, so turn to your neighbor and tell them there was a time in my life. And finish the sentence, there was a time in my life. Okay. Okay, did everybody get something? Then I met Jesus. I mean, but you have to do it yourself. I met Jesus because a friend, my boss, took me into his back office and told me about Jesus and took me to a church where the presence of God was. That's how I met Jesus. Yes?
I have a serious question.
Yes?
So many of us were raised in Christian homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing of before I met Jesus doesn't really work for us.
Yeah, it doesn't, but it does. It does for a couple of ways. One, you can always take this testimony and put it, remember my second testimony? I grew cold in the Lord. And it wasn't until I got into the harvest that my life in Jesus came back to life. So there's a lot of different things along the way that you can use as a testimony. You see, now, my other testimony was there was a time in my life when I walked away from the faith of my family. That's the one I taught last at the Full Gospel Businessmen week. I guess it was 2 weeks ago or so. But since then, I thought that, and that I used that one on people like you that had been in church and all their life. So I modified it for a different So there was a time in my life when I walked away from the faith of my family. Now, if you didn't do that, you can always talk about the blessings of being raised by Christian parents But there is a time when, you know, we call it confirmation sometimes. We call it a time when I made a dedication to Christ. And I know from that moment that I did that I was dedicated to my life. So how many of you are in that position where you're not sure when what it was like before Jesus? Okay? So there are some of you, but so you're going to have to tweak that to your own personal story, of course, because you can't make up, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the Savior's son. You know, but what is there something that Jesus saved you from? You know, and so you'll have to work that, but you can. You can, because your testimony, this testimony is a powerful thing. And if I can get you to have a testimony, you will be. I was at this party last night. I was at a dinner party with my boss, and there was a time when I was saying, I said, you know, we've got to go because I got to get up tomorrow. I'm preaching tomorrow. And then I just said, and I'm teaching how to give your testimony. And I said, well, here's mine. There was a time in my life when I gave the testimony. And but how did you, the rest of you, how did you give your, what happened when you got saved? What happened when you committed your life to Christ? We might not have called it got saved. In fact, I don't even like to use the word got saved with unbelievers because they don't know what got saved means. That's Christianese. And so I use a term like I gave my heart to the Lord. I made Jesus the head of my life. Or I just said, yes, I want you, Jesus. That's how I think I did in my testimony. I want you, Jesus. And since then, I've never, and then, so now that's how I got saved. If you can work the death, burial, and resurrection into your testimony like I did, that's why I switched it in the thing, because I talked about a church that didn't have any Jesus in it. Because the day I gave my heart to Christ, I wasn't thinking about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. I was thinking about, wow, this is so great, I want it. That's how I got saved. I mean, I really just said I want it. And I didn't know about repentance from dead works. I did. I learned about it. By the way, repentance lasts forever. God is always nudging you about this or that, isn't he? He's never, you know, I didn't walk away and never was angry again. I wish, but I've had to repent all through my life of this and that. This and that, yes. So, how did you get saved? Then I met you. How you got saved. Okay. I heard the Holy Spirit's voice for the first time. And I was convinced that God really loved me. And you, but a lot of people do that and they never get saved.
And
I told God I want you again. And so you should be able to speak that. And you can do it all in 30 seconds. And you can you can go long, but you could also squeeze that right down to one sentence. And I realized that God loved me and I wanted him in my life again. You know, basically what you said? I felt his presence and I asked him to come into my life. And then what happened since then? What happened since then?
Come on.
What happened? My life changed. How? I had joy. I had eternal security. Now, I don't use those terms. I actually did, but I as I said it, I thought, no, I don't want to go there. I just want to say I know that my heart has been right with God for the last 40 years. I've known that. I've never not known that. It's not unlike your testimony, brother, of coming in as a child. But I, you know, from the time I got born again, I've never... Not had great days always, but I've always known I'm born again. So what can you say? What can you say? Turn to your neighbor and tell them what they could say. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Talk to each other. Talk to each other. Start with, there was a time in my life. There was a time in my life. There was a time in my life. Okay, wait. Okay, back and forth. Each of you do it. There was a time in my life when I was raised in a church that didn't even know Jesus. There was no Jesus in my church. There was no Jesus. Tell a friend who's a former boss took me into the back room of his store and told me about Jesus. Okay, and then you finish, there's an end, a great ending. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you have a story like that? Do you have a story like that? And at that point in your Christian testimony, you have to be able to listen to their story. And it might be about loving Buddha. It might be about, you know, I just got high on LSD and I had an, you know. And you don't just listen. Don't say, no. Just listen. When you ask people for their spiritual experiences, you'll get a lot of really whacked out. Well, you know, they're on TV and movies and everything. People's experiences. So try it. Who can? We're closing up right now. Who can stand up and give their testimony? Their 30 seconds. You start. Tell them. Not me. Tell them. Jump up and tell it. And we're about. No, just from there, just shout it out. Okay, we can't keep doing. I'd like to do it with everyone here. If you are here this morning and you have realized that you don't have a story like this, you don't have a story of being born again, this could be the part of your story when some silly guy came up here and led us in giving our testimonies, and I realized I don't have a testimony of knowing Jesus. I don't have one. This could be the day when you meet Jesus. So I don't know you all, but I assume maybe you young people, maybe you have just, you've always expected that you would give your heart and be a on fire Christian someday. Well, today could be your day. The rest of you, I just pray that God would give you a special anointing. I just release an anointing upon these folks, these believers, to work on this, to be able to share this in moments where it'll just come up. It'll come up like me last night. It just came up, but I was ready to give a 2-minute testimony about Jesus. How I gave it my heart. And I just release that same spirit on everybody here. I release that spirit. Now, I love apartment house evangelism. I like knocking on doors at an apartment. If they're not there, you just go to the next one, 3 steps down, knock, knock, knock. If they're not there, knock, knock, no thank you, okay, knock, knock, knock. I love it. If you would like to go out, I would like to offer me to you, that thing about fear that we sung about this morning, we're all chicken. I am as scared as a jackrabbit when it comes to preaching the gospel. I walk right by the doors if I can get away with it. But if you want to go out door to door and just meet some people, we will most likely, I can't promise, but we will, as we pray the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers to reap the harvest. I will be happy to go out with you. You. And we could go and find an apartment. We can do houses too. We can do anything but if you have an apartment complex that comes to your mind, let's go knocking on the doors and we just say, hey, we're out praying for our neighbors. And you got anything I could pray for? And the ones that are interested. And so I just want to throw that out. I'd be happy to go out and share Jesus with you, because that's one way to overcome your fear. I'll do 90% of the talking. 90, you'll do some.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I think we probably just had to practice. And afterward, we do have a time at 11:15. You know, people get together to share. Yeah. And
you can ask anybody their testimony today.
Yeah, maybe Steve. Steve, maybe you can join them at 11:15 so we can have follow-up to really do that. And okay, let's arise. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the message today. Holy Spirit, you continue to lead us.